Okay, so my name's Tim Jones, and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project on Trafalgar Square, London. It's the 22nd of August, 2009, and the time is 10:12 p.m. If I could ask you to tell us your name, age, and where you come from.
My name is Elisa Pye, and I'm 29 years old, and I live in Cambridge, and I've lived in England for almost 7 years now, and I immigrated and was raised in Memphis, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Tell us what you've been doing for the last 7 years.
Well, I moved to England to get married, and married a very nice man. and so got a nice job as a research assistant in neuroscience and cognitive psychology, and had a couple of jobs doing that. And then decided to go back and get my PhD. So I'm studying at the University of East London, but I live in Cambridge. And things didn't really go to plan. So I used to live in London and work in Cambridge and commute. And now I live in Cambridge, but I work in London and commute. And yeah, so that's kind of what I've been doing for 7 years.
And what's it been like? How does it feel now you're kind of emigrated and kind of settled? What's the difference between the old you and the new you?
I think there's quite a lot of difference, and like a lot of things have changed in 7 years. And looking back to first immigrating, I thought I was having a fantastic time, but it was actually really quite difficult, and didn't think about it until I got here and then arrived, and it hit me that I'd kind of come for one person and didn't know another soul in the whole country. And and now I'm just so grateful to have like the friends that I have, and that's just a huge part of my life, because my husband and I are currently separated, and so I'm here today on my own, and it's tough, but that's what makes my friendship so important.
So when did you first hear about the One Another Project?
I was trying to remember. I'm sure I saw it online and in some of like the news headlines, and I love Anthony Gormley, and it's one of my first kind of memories when I came to visit. I think the Angel of the North had just gone up. Did it go up in like the millennium or something like this? Yes. And I'd come over for an extended holiday, and a friend was just saying, yes, they put up this large angel, and it's very controversial, and some people like it and some people don't, and we'll take you to see it. So we drove around the motorway to like look at it, and I loved it. And so since then have really like followed all the stuff he's done, and tried to go to like the one that he did over in the Hayward Gallery and stuff, and signed up because I just really like his statues and think it's really cool, and never thought I'd be on the planet. that was it. If it was somebody else's project, I probably wouldn't have been interested, but was just so kind of keen to like get involved in this idea that like statues of people, and this idea that he's trying to capture the UK, and I think a part of the modern UK is people who've immigrated and started a new life here, and I think that's a controversial issue as well, whether people are always comfortable with that idea, but yeah, I think that it's an important one. And so also when I saw that it was trying to capture about the UK and stuff, I thought, well, I count, I'm a resident, and it's a big deal, and I do fight prejudice sometimes, even though I'm like American, but people get kind of, you know, sometimes a bit tetchy that I've immigrated and I'm over here, so.
How does it feel to be part of the project, to be part of the UK and part of 2,400 people as well?
It feels amazing, and it's been quite a rubbish week, and it's just been the highlight, and I got called last minute only on Wednesday or something, so haven't really had time for it to sink in, and I've just been freaking out for 4 days, and I'm going through waves of just feeling so excited to be a part of it, and yeah, for me to be a part of it as myself, but also like the bit of the UK that I represent, you know, the people who, you know, have maybe had to start over and go back to school and retrain, and people who've immigrated, and, you know, I don't know. I like to think that if somebody hasn't been in, that's been in my situation, that, you know, I can represent them too.
So who would you say you're doing this for?
Well, when I started to think about, like, what I was going to do on the plinth, I was trying to think about what's most important to me, and like from a personal thing, because I think part of the reason I'm doing it is for myself, because everyone that I've told, I'm kind of sometimes a little shy, everyone I've told is like, I cannot believe you're gonna get up on the plinth. And so part of it is just to say that, like, you know what, I'm gonna get up there and I'm gonna be myself and it's gonna be fine, and for myself. And then when I started to think about what I was gonna do, I tried to think about what was most important in my life and who was most important in my life, and to kind of do it like for them as well. So part of what's really important to me is like really mundane things, like I love music and I go to gigs all the time, so we're gonna have music up there. And part of what I love in life is like sharing food with friends, which sounds really plain, but being raised in like the southern states, like that's just what you do, you just have way too much food all the time with all your friends. So I kind of thought, right, I'll bring a bit of food and I'll bring a bit of weird fun, and hopefully some of my friends will show up and we'll just have like a good time. And so I kind of thought about that, and I thought about kind of all the people that I can kind of say that I love from the plinth, and like how they're so important to me, and that if I didn't have them here, I'd have very little.
So what kind of reaction would you like from those that kind of like witness what you're going to be doing up on the plinth?
I'd like them, I think. Some people I talked to in London had no clue about it, which I found quite strange, because when I lived in London, I went to the galleries quite a bit and was kind of more in tune. So part of it is just kind of like, you've got cool things going on in your city. You're not living in like the backwoods. Like, you've got cool things, you should take part. But part of it is just that, like, even if I don't know them, that people are quite, that they walk away and they think, oh, that was fun. Or I feel a bit like warm and cuddly inside. That's so funny. But, you know, that it's a nice thing, that it's not just like waving to someone on a plinth, but that, it sounds so cheesy, but you know what I'm saying, like they were like, oh, that's weird, I just like played an odd game and got a chocolate bar off that lady. Or that it's a nice experience for them, and that it's not like it's part of what makes their like Saturday in Trafalgar Square. That I think that if I'd come down like as a tourist or whatever, and some strange girl on a plinth was like trying to play a weird game with me, I'd just get the giggles, and then the rest of the day I'd be like, that was really strange but kind of cool. And I guess that's what I want to leave with people, that, you know, London doesn't have to be like a rough city, or, you know, coming to England or immigrate. Like, it's, we can all be friends, and we can all like have a nice time together and be friendly and things. Yeah.
So what stuff are you taking up with you, and what are we going to be doing for the duration of the hour?
So I'm going to start off with, I've made a little playlist. Really, I didn't bring anything with me, but I do love music. I don't know. I'm one of these, I guess, generation that just music is kind of all around me, on me all the time. And so I'm taking up there just my laptop, and it's just whatever I have on my laptop. I've kind of created a playlist, and it's not necessarily my favorite songs of all time, but it's what I've got and it'll do. So I'm just gonna lay out like a little picnic and kind of start with some music, and get out all my supplies. And I'm taking up like a whiteboard and a marker, and I'm taking up lots of like treats, so lollies and chocolates, and I've got one box of donuts maybe for the friends in the crowd, and little bags to put them in to toss them down and things. So I'm taking a lot of stuff on the plinth, but I think part of that is part of representing me, and also representing people. I see girls all the time that seem to have like 18 bags with them, and you know, that kind of modern life that you're always around, and you know, you start out in the morning and you know, I go from Cambridge to London and back, and then to dinner, and I have everything I need on me, and it's always in these huge bags, and it's kind of what, I just get called a bag lady all the time. So I'm kind of taking a lot of stuff because I just think, maybe I'll need this on the plinth. Maybe I'll need a book on how to do origami, because I'll feel like doing some. And so I have like that and origami papers. I don't think I'll have time, but so I have kind of lots of little things, but mainly I'm just gonna go up there and kind of play some games with my whiteboard. You might have to brief me on how to do hangman, because I'm not clear on the rules, but that's fine. And, so easy, kind of like the idea of a picnic. My friend had a picnic last week, and I just thought, this is lovely. Like, who doesn't love this? Who doesn't love sitting in the sun at a picnic and like playing random games and just having a giggle and eating food with their friends? So I guess that's kind of the theme I'm going with.
And what kind of person would you say you describe yourself as?
I think I'm a little, I can be very silly, a little too silly for some people, and a little weird, which I think is kind of summed up in kind of what I'm doing on the plinth. I mean, it's not weird, it's not original, but it's just a little like normal girl t-shirt. For some reason decided to play children's games on a plinth. But I don't know, I think, you know, that I like to please people, and I like people to be happy, you know, to have a nice time and to just not feel like, just to feel cool and loved and liked and accepted and stuff. And so I think part of that about my personality is wanting to please people, which is why I thought, oh, people will like me if I bring chocolates. I think that's it.
And what would you say are the most important things to you at the moment?
I think music is very important to me, and I think friends who are quality. It doesn't matter that you don't have like 800 friends, but if you have like a core group of friends, or, you know, people that I call my UK family who are no blood relation to me, but I'd be nowhere without them. So, and that's, they're important to me, and my music is important to me, not that I create, but that I listen to.
Can you tell us a little bit about the PhD that you're doing as well?
Yeah, I can. I'm doing a PhD in cognitive psychology. And what I study is with healthy, intact, normal readers, just how their brains take a written, printed word, like off of a computer screen, and how you process that to read it aloud correctly. So specifically, I'm wondering if to read a word out loud correctly, just to pronounce it, if you need semantic memory. So do you need knowledge about that item to help you read it like faster or process it more efficiently, which doesn't always go over well at dinner parties, but occasionally has its interesting moments.
can we count any of the interesting moments?
Well,
that you've come across?
I mean, I guess it's nice. I mean, to test people, I get to meet lots of people, and I don't always consider myself a very outgoing person, but I like one-on-one interactions and stuff. So I have them in, and they do very kind of boring scientific tasks, but in my job before doing a PhD, we studied dementia patients who'd lost a bit of their brain had kind of atrophied, and they'd lost their semantic system, the semantic dementia patients. And just meeting them and meeting their spouses and some of the stuff, they were always just so warm, even though like they were losing a bit of their brain. So scientifically, from like a cold-hearted perspective, they were very interesting because we were trying to figure out, well, they're losing this bit of the brain and what's happening to their reading. So in a science way, it was very interesting, but also kind of on a personal way, because you would see these people every couple of months. So you kind of get, you're not supposed to get involved, but it's hard not to, because, you know, the carer invites you in to have a cup of tea. And sometimes some of the stories that they tell are kind of heartbreaking, but also absolutely hilarious. So, and you kind of learn to laugh and cry with them, even though you're just there to kind of talk about science and stuff. So sometimes like an interesting story would kind of come out of that.
And how was it you found yourself kind of working in that particular field?
Because I worked in that area in the States. So when I did my degree, I was a research assistant. I did a bachelor's degree in psychology, and just because I needed a job, one of my lecturers kind of said, I'm looking for someone to be a research assistant, like part-time, minimal pay, like hourly wage, but it could be interesting. And I was desperate for the pocket money, to be honest, and then kind of got into it and found it really interesting. And then once I finished, the lab that I was working in kept me on full-time, like gave me a proper job. And then I moved here and really considered a job change properly, and applied for every job under the sun that it looked like I was qualified for. Everything, hundreds of jobs. Couldn't get an interview for a single one of them. The only way I could get employed was doing what I'd done. And actually, it was maybe a gift in disguise type of thing. Like, maybe it wasn't what I wanted at the time, but it's turned out really well. So, and have days that I don't like it, but I have days that I think, yeah, maybe this is okay for a job and this is what I'm supposed to do and stuff. So it was kind of, I guess, by mistake. Like, I wasn't even a psychology major when I took the job or anything. But, yeah, ended up kind of over here and needing a job. So through various research assistant jobs, kind of ended up in this, what I consider an interesting area. That also has implications for all of us when we get old and have dementia.
And what hopes and fears do you have for the future?
Oh dear. That's such a hard question. Because on a personal level, oh, it's really hard to be honest, isn't it? Because on a personal level, I'm in a marriage that's separated. My hope and fear, well, my fear is that I'm going to end up utterly alone and abandoned and an orphan in a foreign land. My hope is that I won't, and that I have friends, and that maybe that relationship can be mended. And that although I have to go like on the plane by myself on a picnic blanket, that one day someone will be on the picnic blanket with me, and that actually I won't be in a shared house as a student with people who are lovely to me and invite me to their Christmas dinners because I don't have anywhere else to go, but that one day I'll be able to like have a Christmas dinner of my own with like my actual like family, like with a partner or with children or something, and that in a really cliched way I'll kind of live happily ever after with loads of friends and loads of family.
And how does it feel to be part of then this One Another project, being like we said before, kind of be part of the UK and 2,400 people? How are you feeling right now before you go up onto the plinth?
I feel this morning I felt very alone because I realised other people would get to come with friends or whatever, and or spouses or boyfriends or whatever, and that I would be rocking up all by myself to go on the plinth. And so I was both lonely and really quite scared. And now I'm excited. I feel really excited and really quite like, oh, it's fine. It's a shame I can't like give a hug to everyone, but that I feel included. And actually you called up on a really rough day and I was like, how cool. Like somebody wants me to like take part. Granted, it's a random lottery, but someone wants me to take part, and that's really cool. And so I'm excited to be a part of it and to be included.
So what message and final comment do you have on being here on Trafalgar Square in 2009, being part of the Anthony Gormley project? How would you like to?
I think it's excellent because you both stand out because you're one person on a plinth, but at the same time, there's 2,400 of us, so you're kind of part of something bigger, and you're in Trafalgar Square with thousands of other people, so you're not on your own. So just to be a part of it, it's really exciting.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.